This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello and welcome to the Adventures Mama podcast. We are Ashley and Nikki. I said we. That wasn't obvious that I was going to let you say your name. It's awesome. Good job, me. We're Ashley and Nikki. And today we are going to talk about taking our kiddos to the beach, which is fun for me right from the get-go because I like to take my kids to the beach and Nikki does not. So why, Nikki? What did the beach do to you?
I tolerated the beach without kids. I tolerated it for the sake of my husband, whose natural environment is the beach. And then I had kids, and now it's 500 times harder. And I still take them to the beach.
You do. You've been to the beach together. You did it. You've done the thing multiple times with me.
Yeah. We do it. It's just, it is not, like if I were to rank the types of adventures I like, beach is low. Low on the list. Rather do camping. I'd rather do Disney World. That's like, whew, bucket list. I want to, a very different type of adventure, though, than the beach.
Very different type of adventure, yes. I've done both with my people. Very different.
Oh, which do you prefer, beach or Disney?
I feel like they occupy very different categories.
True.
Also, like, the beach has gotten to a place where it's, like, if it's somewhere we've been before, it's kind of comfortable. It's something I can do just by myself. With the kids. Whereas when I went to Disney World, it was like a whole big sloppy like family, like cousins and aunts and uncles, and it was an extravaganza. I don't know if I can compare the two in terms of adventuring, just because they're very different adventures.
You're a magical muskox, but you... I might have just botched that quote. You're amazing, but it's easy. Like, it's natural for you to take your kids to the beach. I'm not from a beach place either. I'm from upstate New York. We have lakes, but they aren't sandy. And that's one of my big things. I don't like sand, and I don't like things that can harm me. And any place where the water is warm enough has... things like on my honeymoon, I swam next to a barracuda. Didn't realize how dangerous a barracuda is until after I got out of the water.
Where were you honeymooning, and did you know about the barracuda when you were in the water?
We went to the Bahamas on a cruise, and so we were in Nassau, the Bahamas, snorkeling, and my husband pointed to the barracuda, and then after we got out, started singing the barracuda song. And then after we were back on the big cruise ship, I realized what a barracuda actually was. And it was explained to me as the fish that ate Nemo's mom. And I said, how dangerous are they to humans? And Alexander was like, oh, they're pretty gnarly. And I said, oh, geez, Louise. And then on another beach adventure with my husband, pre-kids, he came running back to me. I don't know if I've told you this story before, but I was on the beach in my, like, more happy place.
Yeah.
It's sandy, but I can deal with the beach, especially without kids, because not all the sand travels with me after that.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes running back from the water with the GoPro, and he goes, look at this picture I just took of this really cool fish. It looks just like a rock. And I was like, for the love of God, what, like, that's a rockfish. That's the most venomous or poison, venomous, because it stings you, fish in the ocean. Like, get out of that water. He's like, oh, maybe a rockfish.
Beach luck.
Maybe a friend of mine's kids got stung by a jellyfish.
I got stung by a jellyfish, but that was in Kenya, so I feel like that's a whole different situation. Never in the States did we
get stung by a jellyfish. Oh, my friend got stung at Yorktown Beach in Virginia. Like,
oh, yeah.
I do a lot of scary things, and I still take my kids, but it just, it's a level of anxiety that I'm not, it is not my comfortable place. But that's okay, because we do uncomfortable and hard things all the time. I still take my kids to the beach. We took them to the beach a couple weeks ago, actually. So we do it still. I very rarely take my kids on my own.
I think the beach has a lot of anxiety. It's like anxiety causing for a lot of people, and probably rightfully so, because there are a lot of, there's a lot of things you can't control, I guess.
Yeah.
But there are also a lot of things you can't control. And I think kind of having all of your ducks in a row can be helpful, and knowing, having more information and knowing what you're getting into, I think, for me at least, helps lessen the anxieties.
I just remembered too, and this is probably a big one, that I don't know why this wasn't the first thing I thought of. I'm not a good swimmer. I'm not a big swimmer or a good swimmer. So I think that pools and water have never been like my comfort zone. And now it's just also I'm projecting that onto my kids, because it's never been comfortable for me, because I've probably come way too close to drowning too many times.
That's terrifying. Yeah, that would rightfully be like anxiety provoking at any time. So I know you didn't grow up going to the beach. Did you grow up swimming or not swimming either?
I can tread water. My school had swimming. You, did your school have swimming? Did it have a pool with swimming and gym class?
No.
Oh, it's horrible. And I skipped it. You had to... gym is not my forte. You had to do one day of each unit in order to pass gym. And so I swam one day out of the swimming unit. And I sat out the rest because I hate swimming. So I can tread water long enough to save my life. For a very brief, not for long. But yeah, so no, not really. I'm not really a swimmer. It's not my strong point. I had every opportunity afforded to me to be a swimmer, and it's just not my thing.
That's fair.
I have no excuse. What about you?
We did the beach rarely, but we did it when we were growing up. But my grandma had a pool. And so we were in the pool all summer long at my grandparents' pool. So I wouldn't say that I feel like a confident swimmer, but I think I am. Like, if I were to actually like reflect on it, like, it's not something I super enjoy, but it's not something that makes me uncomfortable either.
Okay.
So I think, well, like, it's not necessarily like exercise that I would seek out. Like, if I was going to go do some form of like cardio exercise, I would not be like, I'm going to go swim laps. That's not my thing. but I don't feel that like part of going to the beach, the actual swimming part, doesn't like trigger any anxiety in me. I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. The swimming part I've got.
Yeah.
But
not so
here. We would do the beach maybe like twice a summer. Twice every summer, okay. Which is funny because I live, like I grew up on the beach, basically. Like I grew up in Central Jersey. It just so happens that exactly where I was in terms of like, you couldn't walk to a real beach from where I was. So not until I started driving myself, like 17, but like, okay, we can go to the beach. We can go do these things. But as like a small kid, twice a year.
Okay.
I have 3 siblings. So when you have a family of 6, everything's an event.
Yeah. I never saw the ocean until I was an adult.
So. Really? I mean, yeah. That makes sense, like based on where you grew up, but also.
Yeah. There were a lot of lakes, big mm-hmm. lakes and small lakes. Like Lake Ontario is huge, but it's not the same.
Yeah. That's something I was going to talk about is when we decide to go to the beach, choosing exactly where we're going to go, because there are big differences, I think,
yeah,
between different bodies of water and what all that entails.
So, yeah.
Like where we are now, it's mostly bay and ocean are like the 2 main options. But then there's several river beaches that yeah. I also will go to with the kids. I think the ocean is probably my last choice in terms yeah. of where I'm taking the kids when we're all going together. What about you? What's your preference there?
So right now where we're at, it's all like big wide ocean. But my favorite place to go was in Virginia, and it was Chipoke's Plantation. Mm-hmm. And so it's on, I think that one's the James River still.
I think it's the James River, yeah.
I think it's the James, but it's close to where it meets the ocean. So it's very mild. Mm-hmm. There's not huge waves. It stays very shallow for a long time. So that took stress away from me with the kids too. So like they weren't going to run out and either be like overtaken by a wave or find themselves suddenly very deep. Yeah, I think I prefer rivers more. We also went to another state park. I forget the name now. I can see the magnet that we got from there in my head, but I can't read the name on it. That was on the Potomac River. And again, just very mild, very... It still had sand. They both mm-hmm. actually are commonly known for looking for fossils and shark teeth. I'll put it in the show notes when I remember it. It was like probably a 3-hour travel. It was our first family camping trip. And I made sure it was far enough that we couldn't quit early.
That was big and brave of you. Yeah. I tend to do the opposite. I'm like, if I need to bail out, how quickly can I get home?
There's some that I've done that with, but I was trying to sell my husband on this one. So there was a lot of thought. Ah. It was the, look, we can be a camping family.
Right.
Camping trip. Maybe so like I that. Wanted to make it impossible to turn back, and I wanted everything to go smoothly and as minimal as possible. So, and we still camp. So I sold it.
Yeah, I feel like you succeeded. That wasn't your last camping trip as a family.
No.
It's okay for things to be uncomfortable.
We're going to see if you can sell me on beaches in this one.
I don't know if I can, friend. I think your mind is made up. You have too many biases. Another thing I'm looking for when I am choosing a beach is like, what is there in terms of amenities? And mm-hmm. by that, I mean, are there toilets? Because whether or not you are team pee in the ocean or team use the toilet, when kids have to poop, they have to poop. And yeah, mine have very little like lead time in between. Mom wears the bathroom and it's time. So I am always scouting out for bathrooms. That's pretty much all I need. But I like to know that one is relatively close. And then also in terms of like distance, because I think this can add a whole nother layer to your beach trip when you are traveling far or driving a decent distance to get to the beach. I am lucky enough right now that I can be at a river or a bay beach in like 15 minutes. Probably less than that. Yeah, less than that.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And I think you're probably pretty similar right now, Nikki, yeah?
Not very much. I was very surprised because we're certainly on coastal Georgia, but there is, Georgia has one beach, or Savannah has one beach. I feel comfortable saying I'm in Savannah. And that's on Tybee Island, which is very pretty, but that's pretty much it. And it's probably about under 45 minutes from us. So not bad. Depends on traffic. There are, I will caveat that with, there are a lot of marshes. I wasn't expecting, because we are in lowland. As a New Yorker, I don't know what that, like, it's new territory for me. So I think most of our water adventure is going to be more canoeing and things here than it was, like, open beach. Beach. And the type of water that, like, we aren't going to step into because there are alligators and things.
Please don't swim there.
So that's an adjustment, but that is a different episode.
Alligators in the moo canoe?
Yeah. Our moo canoe can have its own. Honestly, like canoeing and exploring like that, that's a whole thing with kids too.
Oh my gosh, yes. I would love to pick your brain about that because the big one decided a couple months ago now. Anyway, he's into kayaking now. All of a sudden,
Ooh. He
has discovered kayaking and he really likes it. And the other day at Tractor Supply, he was like, I need this kayak. And I was like, you don't need this kayak. It's $150 and you kayaked one weekend.
Oh,
he's like, no, I love kayaking, Mom. I need this kayak. So I'll have to pick your brain for all things children and waterways.
Maybe we'll have an adventure dad cameo because Alexander is the kayaking pro. He's going tomorrow, actually.
Oh, yeah?
He's going to wake up early and go because he has tomorrow off. Sorry.
All right.
That's a bad trail.
No, it's fine. I like
but
it.
Yeah, as far as amenities for me that I look for is I always look for a plan B nearby. So is there something else to do other than the water or sand? Whether that is like a park or a playground or Yorktown has, they have like their weekly festival, like their farmer's market, but
market
also
days.
Yeah, but also just a bunch of cute shops and like things to explore there. We've gone in Japan where there's the beach, but then there's also mountains right there.
We've gone at the state park we went to on the river. There was hiking. So like, I don't want for that to be my primary thing, because to me, there's too many factors, whether there's currents or whether the water is rough or whether it's just full of jellyfish that day. Like, there's too many factors that I can't foresee before we get there that I need to be able to do a quick pivot and not have it be just getting back in the car and going home, because then I'll deal with grumpy kids the rest of the day. So that's a big thing for me, is like, what else could we do? And sometimes that's like one nature preserve we went to on the water. We would go on cold days there because it was perfect for kites. Like, it doesn't have to be a dramatic pivot, but I need to be able to have a plan to change direction quickly is my biggest
thing. That's incredibly wise, because I feel like if I don't plan that way, because you're better at planning than I am, but like, if we were to roll up to the beach and something would go wrong, I'd just be like, well, time to go home. Sorry, friends.
This is the time where we learn how to manage disappointment. That's the life lesson for today. No, that's not a life lesson I want to face with my kids.
No, I am not doing a great job with that life lesson, myself or them. No one does well with that in my house.
But not here either. I avoid it at all cost.
Well, so back to the beach. I think the beach is one of those places where it's really easy to get bogged down with stuff and the stuff that you need to bring to the beach. I honestly go back and forth. Sometimes I feel like I really like hit the sweet spot of not bringing too much, and other times it feels like I forgot everything, and other times I'm like, why did I bring all this stuff? We didn't use any of it. But I have a list of some of the things that are kind of my non-negotiables that are coming with us every time we hit the beach. And
Tell me more.
Like, does he have a car? Anyway. We are bringing towels for everyone, change of clothes for everyone, sun hats for everyone. We'll probably talk about this in a million different episodes. My people are fair and we burn. My whole back is sunburnt right now from the beach on Friday. So we have all the sun protection. We'll talk about that throughout the episode. Water bottles for everyone. Multiple swim diapers. If this is your first year with a baby, swim diapers. Here's the learning curve, my friends. They are there to catch poop. They do not hold pee. If your child is sitting on your lap and they pee in the swim diaper will not hold the pee. That is not what it does. You will be covered in pee. If your child rides home in their car seat in the swim diaper, it will not hold their pee. You will have to wash your car seat. I put my kid in a swim diaper at the very last possible moment. And sometimes with a baby at the beach, they're not even really getting in the water, so I never put the swim diaper on. But it is limited in what it does. It's not going to hold pee. Don't get pee on yourself. There are disposable swim diapers. There are reusable swim diapers. If you're going to use a reusable swim diaper, either buy a swim diaper, or if you're a cloth diaper person already, pick a cover that you don't love or that you do love and make it the swim diaper. Use the same one all the time, because the chlorine can make them kind of funky. So don't like throw it in back into your regular rotation. If you're a cloth diaper family, just keep it as your swim diaper. But again, same thing, just the cover. It's not meant to hold pee. You don't actually want it to hold pee, because if you think about like a diaper, if you've ever, like your kid's ever woken up with a really, really heavy diaper, like you don't want that pulling on your kid in the water.
That's what I was just going to mention. Part of the reason
that they don't.
Is that even though it seems cumbersome to have a different type of diaper, and then also always every time I pick up my wet kid, I'm thinking, how much pee am I covered in right now? But it doesn't matter, because it's a very big drowning risk for them to be in a heavy diaper, especially the littlest ones. I would much rather deal with being peed on than have my kid be too heavy in the water and just sinking due to the weight of their diaper that is filled up with pool water or ocean water. Like it doesn't discriminate about what liquid it is soaking up. So please, please, please still put your kids in swim diapers. I have swim diaper nightmares. It happens. But they're super important and necessary.
Like, you have stories about things with swim diapers that went wrong, or like swim diapers plague your dreams? What kind of nightmares are we talking about?
Bad stories. Just
gotcha. Gotcha.
Because even though I don't want to discourage people from taking their kids to the beach in swim diapers, it's worth it. But even though like they hold poop, it's still like very watered down. It's still, the water's still going through. So it's very disintegrated, messy. It's not pleasant. Yeah. I just hope that my kids don't poop when we're at the beach, honestly. That's my biggest thing, is like, please just don't poo.
Yeah. That's a reasonable hope.
Doesn't always happen, and that's why I have nightmare stories.
But you can dream.
So yeah, so you have extra regular diapers and extra swim diapers every time.
Yes, every time. I have snacks, always snacks, and a whole meal if we're going to be there. But even if we're not planning on being there for like more than an hour or two, I'm still bringing snacks because my people go from zero to hangry so quickly. And I go from zero to hangry so quickly. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of our familial strife could really just be solved by like, hey, let's sit down and have some crackers. I think we'll all feel better.
Here's a pro tip too. Don't bring the whole box. Don't do a Nikki and bring the whole box, because little gremlin hands that are covered in sand will reach into that box. And now the entire box of crackers is half full of sand. And sand is my arch nemesis, and I don't want to eat it. My kids are excited about sand poops. Like, I think the idea of sand poop is exciting to them, but nobody actually enjoys a sand poop. It's not comfortable.
No.
So bring like portioned out snacks. Don't bring the whole box.
Where I'm like, okay, I will make individual snacks per child and bag them up separately, because then there's going to be a whole war about like, well, their sandy hands went in the snack and that's why it's covered in sand and I need a new one. So just have your own snacks. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Deal and if it's sandy, it's yours. You'll have sand poops. You'll be excited about that. But I won't, because I'm eating my own bag of apples or my own bag of crackers. What else do you bring?
I normally bring a big blanket. Sometimes I just bring folding chairs. It kind of depends on my mood that day. Maybe like where we're going. And how long we're planning on being there. Usually when I have a baby to nurse, I prefer to have a chair than to just sit on a blanket. And if I have a chair, the children also need chairs, because they will steal mine if I don't bring one for them. So, and sometimes it's both, blankets and chairs. Sand toys are hit or miss for us. Sometimes we bring them, sometimes we don't. I find that my kids use them if they're there and don't miss them too much if they're not.
Yeah.
And then we always have some kind of shade with us. One year it was an umbrella. Right now we have like a full-on easy pop-up tent situation, which I like for the baby, because also I can kind of just like set her in there and then she's contained in her own little space. I saw a lot of really fun canopies at the beach the other day that
I want to look up. I have two little notes about shade. Is now the good time, or should we talk about it later?
We can talk about it now, or we can talk about it when I go on my sunscreen lecture later.
I just Googled shade, because that's where my brain is. Like, there's what I'm looking for is not going to come up by Googling shade. What so did there's
you get?
Cool thing. It's a find shade and had a picture of the forest.
Oh, okay. I was going for like throwing shade. Like that's where I thought it was going to go.
All right. It's the first thing when I Google beach shade. I saw it all over. Maybe everyone else knows about this already, but it was so cool to see when we were in the Emerald Isle, I think is where I first saw it. It's called a shibumi. Have you heard of these?
I have not.
You might have seen it. So it's like a tent stake that arches over. So it's very, very lightweight. And then it's like that light, almost like tent nylon material. And it flies. And so only the one pole that's bent in an arch is anchored down into the sand and the rest flies free. And so when it's windy on the beach, because most beaches are windy, it catches the wind so it's not pulling out and flying like the umbrella or beach tents do. It also doesn't cook because it's not a tent. That was the biggest complaint I had about our little beach pop-up when I had a newborn, was that I felt like we'd roast in it when she was in it. And this is just, it flies like a flag and it creates shade behind it. They're incredibly expensive, in my opinion, for
what it is. I just saw the price tag.
But they are so cool. And if I ever have an extra, you know, couple hundred dollars and am frequenting the beach enough, I will do that because
they do look really cool.
It was magical. I saw them all down the beach and it, as our umbrella was like blowing away repeatedly.
Also, one of my least favorite beach experiences is chasing my umbrella and wondering if it's gonna like hit a child in the head. I gave up on the umbrella and I moved to the tent.
Yeah. So the shibumi is cool. Hey, shibumi, sponsor us.
And this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And send me I will take my kids to the beach every week if Shibumi sends me one. Ashley will hold me to it.
I will. And if you're trying to look this up right now, it is S-H-I-B-U-M-I, because that's not how I spelled it when Nikki said it.
I might be saying it wrong.
We'll get there eventually. That makes sense phonetically. No, that's right.
Okay. And then the other thing that is really cool that I saw this one was when we were camping in the Outer Banks with some dude who was way more on top of his game than we were. Saw my husband with my child's sand shovel trying to shovel a hole for the umbrella, and he came over and he had a corkscrew drill bit and his cordless power drill, his battery operated power drill, and just came and like just dug this like 2-foot hole into the sand, perfect size. It was sized for like an umbrella or like a PVC pipe size. Put our umbrella right in it and saved us so much time. And it was the most sturdy that our umbrella has ever been. It did not blow away that day. So those are two cool like gadgets. We don't own either of them, but I wish I did.
So now I'm going to bring a cordless drill to the beach. I have to add it to the packing list.
It's an odd thing to bring, but it was like, I was like, wow, that is smart. Also, will you be here tomorrow, sir? Come tomorrow and drill my hole for my beach umbrella, please. Only one time. He wasn't there the next day. I wasn't that creepy. I didn't ask him. Could we be here? But same, I mean, place. Like, if same time tomorrow, sir. Like, no, I didn't do that.
Walking around the beach with your cordless drill. Like, maybe you're there all the time. I feel like that would be a reasonable assumption. That he's like a fixture of the beach.
Yeah.
Like, he comes with the beach.
I wish every beach came with a guy with a cordless drill for umbrellas.
Amazing. What a service. That if we ever need husband, a new job.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be Alex's dream job. Beach.
Drilling holes his in the sand.
Job would be beach. Job is beach.
You found a way to work it in. I am I so did. Proud of you.
Nice job.
Also bringing copious amounts of sunscreen to the beach. Yes. Like I said, my kids burn real easy. I was influenced last week and I bought Solar Buddy. You guys haven't seen it yet. It's like a little, plastic container that you can fill with any sunscreen you want. And then it has like a sponge and a ball to apply the sunscreen. And I liked it. I don't know that I would say it was like an amazing and a must have, but I liked it. And I think my 3-year-old had a much easier time putting sunscreen on herself.
Okay.
And also because it's like kind of auto dispensing the product mm-hmm. as it goes, they can't squeeze out like a huge glob of it Ooh. At one time, which I think is something that we struggle with just from like a fine motor skill perspective, is that it's hard to figure out how to squeeze like the appropriate amount out of the bottle. And then with mineral sunscreen, it's thick and clumpy as it is.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a helpful for the price. It wasn't bad.
And okay. Just helpful. So out of 5 stars. How many stars out of 5?
Stars. Somewhere between like 3.5 and 4.
Okay.
It wasn't like revolutionary, but I think it made things a little bit easier. And also like I could let her do parts of her body while I was also like sunscreening myself or someone else. So it saved me time, which I also really like.
Yes. Cause somehow sunscreening one kid takes 2 minutes. Sunscreening 3 kids takes 40. How does that
yes.
math?
Yes. The math does not math, but it is always true. And pretty much as soon as they're sunscreened, it's time to reapply.
Yes.
So there's that.
Which is another big thing. Please reapply your kid's sunscreen. This yes. is not from a judgmental standpoint. This is from somebody who has skin cancer in the family and has seen many dermatologists and seen all the posters. Again, no guilt, like no shame, but skin cancer is usually contracted within the first couple years of life. If somebody gets skin cancer as an adult, research has shown that it is likely been from sun exposure at a young age.
Ooh.
I'm interested. I'd like to learn more about it because I saw mm-hmm. it on a poster at the dermatology office. So, but it really challenged me to be more proactive because I am more hesitant with myself to sunscreen because I figure, oh, I'll just find shade or, you know, I don't want to add more time sunscreening myself. It's also important mm-hmm. for us, but I cannot skip it with my kids. Even I have little copper tone kids. They tan and they have gotten a little bit red before, but it never lasts long. And so before seeing that poster, I would have brushed it off and gone, oh, they're fine. But now realizing like it's not, it could have consequences in their future. So please sunscreen mm-hmm. your kid. And the beach is more enjoyable and your kids will like the beach more if they don't have it associated with sunburns and uncomfortableness. My kids yeah. call it lotion, and honestly, they kind of, I think it's, they feel very cared for. It's very sweet. Like, my girl Aww. Will always be like, Mama lotion, and she loves, and she sits there and just looks like so, like, She just looks like she feels cared for when I'm putting lotion on her so she doesn't get boo-boo. So, you know, frame it however you need to frame it to make it bearable. Use whatever tools you have to use. Buy a, what is it called? Solar Buddy?
Solar Buddy, yeah.
Buy a Solar Buddy if you need to, but don't skip the sunscreen, no matter your tanning ability or your skin color. Because I've heard also from darker black friends of mine that they also, like, they can still be damaged by the sun. Their skin can still be damaged even if they don't have as noticeable of a sunburn.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That's my soapbox for the moment. There might be another
one. I like it. It's a good soapbox. I always tell my kids when they're being grumpy about sunscreen, I'm like, okay, well, if your skin gets burnt, we're not going to be able to do, like, whatever it is tomorrow, because you're going to be sick and your body's going to need to rest. So, like, if you fight me on the sunscreen now, we're not going to be able to play in the pool tomorrow. So
it's a good natural consequences talk.
Yeah, it works sometimes. They're usually pretty good about sunscreen because they know that they burn.
Yeah.
And now that, like, they saw the baby's sunburn. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, my baby got a horrible sunburn in April in indirect sunlight when we went camping. But it, like, on her face, and it blistered. But my older kids saw that. So now, like, they know what a bad sunburn looks like.
Yeah.
They know kind of what the repercussions are. So I think it's easier now with them to fight that battle, or not have a battle to fight at all.
Yeah.
You guys have like particular brands that you like?
Not really. Honestly, oh, here's Soapbox 2 coming along.
That's my drum roll noise.
There can be a lot of garbage in sunscreen, which I don't love. Unfortunately, a lot of the spray sunscreens tend to have the more garbage in them. The easier it is to spray and spread, the more likely it is to have, I call it all the benzones. It's like avobenzone and some other things. And they're finding, research is finding, that our skin can absorb some of those chemicals and they can have more long-term effects. I think the studies that I read, I think that the disconnect and why we didn't realize it sooner was because we weren't sunscreening as much when we were kids. Like, it was, you sunscreened when you went on family vacation, not when you were playing in the backyard. And now they're just, research and scientists are finding that we're absorbing more of those chemicals. And so I personally just want to limit those chemicals and the adverse effects that they can have. Unfortunately, it's usually the easier to use sunscreens that have that. But again, I would rather have chemicals, poor chemicals. Like, if it's coming down to whether or not I use sunscreen, if I use sunscreen with chemicals or no sunscreen at all, I will choose sunscreen with chemicals. I would rather use sun protection than not at all. But if I have the choice and the opportunity, I will choose a mineral lotion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of store brands are getting, are leaning more towards mineral lotions for the sake of the ocean. When we're traveling, like when we lived in the Pacific, I used Blue Lizard because of the reefs and things. Mm-hmm. Blue Lizard is reef safe, meaning some of the chemicals in sunscreens aren't great for the coral reefs and the ocean life. Like, it's a law in places like Australia. Like, you can only use reef-safe sunscreens.
Yeah.
They tend to be more expensive. So I've been liking the Equate, you know, Walmart brand. And I'm trying to think of what the other one was I used recently that was a mineral sunscreen without at least a lot of the chemicals in it and was a more affordable price point. And it was easier to spread because some of, like, the expensive, like, really nice ones, I can't think of the name of it. I'm seeing it. Is it, like, Think Baby?
Yes.
That one's really hard to spread. It smells very nice and it works very well, but it's hard to spread. And when you already have a wiggly kid. Like, yeah. I need easy spreadability. I need as easy as I can without ideally putting those chemicals on my kid. Again, if it's that or nothing, like, I'm putting the chemicals on them. But yeah, so I've just been finding some store brands that are mineral sunscreen. The active ingredient is like a zinc oxide. And that's what I've been leaning towards. What about you? What do you use?
Yeah, we usually do mineral. I think we also have Blue Lizard right now, and my kids really like it because the cap changes color.
Oh, yeah.
And Think Sport, which is also Think Baby, but it's,
yeah,
I think slightly more water resistant or something. That one's been good for us recently.
Okay.
I also usually, my kids are in like a long sleeve swim zip.
Yeah.
Like zip shirt. They both have, my boy and my girl both have one. And so that cuts down on a lot of the skin that's exposed that I need to sunscreen anyway.
Yeah.
And then the baby has a full on like long sleeves, long pants. It's neon pink.
It is, can't lose her.
It's from Swim Zip. Swim Zip, please sponsor me. My baby only wears Swim Zip. It's very cute. I had her dressed the other day to go to the beach. My husband's like, she looks like she fell out of the 90s or like an 80s jazzercise video. And I was like, I know, it's perfect. Also part of beach safety and swim safety is the colors that we are putting our kids in.
Oh, yeah.
I spent a little bit of time checking in with my sisters earlier this afternoon, who are both lifeguards. They have lifeguarded at pools, beaches, and lakes between the two of them. So they have a wide range of experience. And one of the things that they were saying, and I think this comes around like on the internet a lot more now than it has before, but like blue and green bathing suits are going to disappear in the water. If your child is having an emergency in the water, it's going to be very hard to see them in a blue or green suit. So my kids are in neon colors at the beach. You can see them a mile away.
I love that.
Both in the water and also like on the beach. And they wear those to the water park. They wear those wherever. And it's easier for me to keep track of them because they're just easier to see. So safety from the sun and also general beach safety. Visible and being noticeable.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And also, if we're segueing to safety too, I want to hear more thoughts from your sisters. But yeah. I listened to a podcast by 1,000 Hours Outside. Let's see how many podcasts we can mention them on.
I mean, probably all of them without even trying.
They're wonderful. And Ginny had on like a really knowledgeable lifeguard. Did you listen to that one?
I think so.
And
it wasn't recently, right?
No, it was. Yeah.
Okay. I think so.
But he talked about swim safety and swim lessons and when they're effective and how they're effective and what kids should be focusing on. And also, like, how our attention, like, I thought I paid attention when my kids mm-hmm. were in the water, and I realized that I probably don't pay close enough attention. And just the reality that even though there's a lifeguard, they are watching like 50 kids. That's not... Yeah. And they're going to be attracted to the most dramatic kid, which drowning is not often dramatic. So just keeping in mind, like, it's great that pools have lifeguards, but it's not the safety net that I thought it was. I just thought, like, oh, great. They're in the pool. I can read a book. And I've realized mm-hmm. that is not, as much as I would love, like, that sounds like a dream, sitting by the pool and reading a book. When my kids are in the water, it's not the time for that. And similarly, I really can't do the three in the water, whether that's a pool or the beach, on my own. Mm-hmm. I just realize my limits. And with the ages of my kids being 1, 3, and 5, I can't give them the focus and hold the hands that need held. And the littlest one wants me to sit next to her so she can jump, you know, in my lap, and the older ones want to be out in the waves, and it's just a two-person job at this moment. And so it's humbling to realize my limitations like that, because I want to be a strong, independent adventure mom, but I need either my husband, who is much more, oh my gosh, I'm so blessed that he is a water person. He took swim lessons for most of his childhood. Funny story, he was almost a lifeguard but caught mono right before the swim test, and so he got tired treading water.
Womp womp.
But also with the Army, like, he knows he's a strong enough swimmer to escape a Black Hawk helicopter that's underwater and stuff. So I have much confidence, not in the sea life around him, but I have much confidence in his swimming and water ability. And even that said, even him will not take our three to the pool on his own. And I doubt he would take them to the beach on his own. So mm-hmm. There's natural limitations, and that's okay.
Yeah, that is absolutely okay. And that is smart. And that is part of why we can adventure and go and do things, is because sometimes we need to look at a situation and say, hey, this is not for me. This is not going to work. And that's how we keep the people we love safe.
Yeah.
Is by making smart choices and being informed.
And finding adventure friends, because.
Yes.
Like, my husband has a pretty time consuming job. We have upcoming deployments, and I need to find an adventure friend to go to the beach with. And that's a little bit closer to me. I don't think you want to drive down to Georgia weekly.
I'm not going to. I love you so much, but I'm not going to.
So yeah, trying to find like just like-minded people that, again, prioritize the safety and has the same types of standards and expectations at the beach.
Yeah. I try my hardest to be in the water if my kids are in the water. That doesn't happen 100% of the time. But that's what I try to establish as the baseline. I am very rarely going to say, oh, go ahead and get in the water, I'll be right there. Or like, I'll watch you from here. I know my kids' limitations. They think they know how to swim. They don't know how to swim.
That was me as a teenager. That's why I almost drowned.
Which can be really dangerous. I think that's more dangerous, is thinking you're capable of something that you're not. And so if they're in a body of water, they have their life jackets on. We have both like boating life jackets. We have the puddle jumpers that everyone is saying are terrible right now. Everyone's coming for the puddle jumpers.
We love ours in certain situations. Yeah. And the thing that I loved, the thing that was on the 1000 Hours Outside podcast, was the guy said, ultimately, whatever will keep your kid afloat so you can grab them. The purpose of the life vest is not to keep them breathing for extended periods of time. It is to keep them floating for an observant parent or lifeguard to see them and pull them quickly out of the water. It's not a lifesaver. Yeah. It is a flotation device. Mm-hmm. And so keeping that in mind, like the puddle jumper accomplishes that for me.
Yes. And it is, regardless of your feelings on the puddle jumper, it is like a Coast Guard approved life jacket. If you're in a situation, I know one of the places my sister's guarded, they had to enforce that if a parent had a flotation device for their child that wasn't Coast Guard approved, they had to ask the parent to remove it. And so what those are is water wings. Water wings are like, they're not helping your kid. They will also not save your kid's life. What one of my sisters was saying is that they slide up or down rather so that they can end up like closer to your wrist than to your arm, in which case they're holding arms up, but not actually the child.
Okay.
So like they're kind of in a Y position because the flotation is like up by their wrists. So not a great one.
And all Coast Guard approved life vests will say so. All the ones I've seen, they say it on the inside. Our puddle jumper isn't actually a puddle jumper. It's a body glove, but we looked at it and it says, so it doesn't always have to be a specific brand. Even though some brands have,
Is puddle jumper a brand?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. I thought it was just the shape.
I bet it's a trademarked brand. Either way though, it'll say when you buy it, and if it doesn't like explicitly say it, I would personally skip it. Like that's not something I want to risk myself. Mm-hmm. Any other safety thoughts?
Yeah. So definitely not to overly trust our flotation devices. They're a tool. They are not the only thing. Same with lifeguards. They're a tool. They are not the only thing. When I was a doula, in one of my trainings, we talked about, and I'm going to botch it now that I'm trying to think of it on the spot, that like the most important thing in any kind of safety situation was going to be like an attentive parent, a physically close, attentive, caring parent. And the same is going to be true for water safety. Like, yes, there's a lifeguard. Yes, they're in like their vest, but you as the parent or like whoever is the adult in the situation is going to be the most important safety.
Yeah. And that said, I might catch some flack for this, but I don't trust many people with my kids at the pool. There's different scenarios and things. I have a mother's helper who comes and helps me a couple times a week, and she is wonderful and great. And I let her take my kids to the splash pad around the block from us. But I've already set the expectation, like we have a pool here, a community pool, and I don't feel comfortable with her taking my kids there on her own. And I think that my kids' safety is more important than people's feelings. And that stinks. I hope that nobody's feelings would be hurt because I said that I didn't want them taking my kids to the pool. Honestly, I think the only people I would feel comfortable with are my husband, myself, and my in-laws. Like, I love you, Ashley. I wouldn't send you with six kids to the pool. Like, that sounds like a nightmare.
That is a nightmare. I would not take six kids to the pool. I would say thank you, but no thank you.
But also, I forget who I heard this from, but there's that thing too, like how horrible. I would feel horrible for causing the guilt. Like if something happened, I would hate that that would put a damper on our friendship. I hate that somebody would feel guilty, and there's just too many things that could happen at the pool. Like that's my responsibility. That's going to fall onto my responsibility, and it's okay if I don't feel comfortable with anyone else taking my kid to the pool or the beach. Like I said, I would be very, very selective with who takes my kid, and it would be a very, very short list, and that's okay. And it's, I give anybody listening permission to have a short list.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable sometimes, but it's okay.
So much of parenting is uncomfortable.
It is.
They don't tell you that enough beforehand.
No, so many uncomfortable talks, so many confrontations. I had to give myself a pep talk on my way to a confrontation with a neighbor just yesterday.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. I'm the adult. I guess I have to do the hard thing.
Yeah. To be the grown-ups.
Yeah.
It's hard when the other grown-up isn't grown-upping.
Yeah. We'll talk about that more off the air here.
I'll tell you that story.
Yes.
What else do I want to talk about?
Ooh.
I want to talk about rip currents really quickly, because I don't feel like I have a great understanding of how they work. I know what you're like not supposed to do and what you're supposed to do. But also, again, talking to my sisters today, one of them reminded me that when you're looking at the ocean, a lot of times the part that looks really calm is actually like a problematic spot. And I feel like, especially with little kids, like we're seeking calm. We are looking for the calm spots in the water. And we're looking for the places where there aren't like big waves and the like. And I think we mostly avoid that given like the beaches that we pick, because I'm not necessarily taking my kids like straight to the ocean when we're going to the beach. But I don't know. Do you have thoughts or experience on that?
Yeah, exactly what your sister said. I think that like a really fun part about the ocean when I've been at the ocean with kids is the waves. So what I do is, yeah, I park it in like the shallow part and let the waves come up. And where the waves are breaking in the shallow parts there on the beach is where my kids jump. So they do not go deep at all. And I know that there's waves, so I know that it's less likely to be a rip current area. And yeah, they just like jumping where like the waves are breaking around my knees. So around their shoulders, probably. That might be a little bit deeper than we normally do. We're usually just in the very shallow part, but that type of like beachy foamy spot is really fun for them. And it feels more manageable for me, being the not swimmer in our household, being sitting or standing in the waves there. It helps me feel secure. And then just that added layer too of the rip current thought, and the general safety of being like not to fight a rip current, to swim to the side and all of that stuff. I'm aware of, but yeah, that's what's fun for my family is to be in the waves. And that gives me that peace of mind too. That said, very mild waves. Like I'm not looking for huge waves. I'm not out to my shoulders in waves. Like I'm ankle deep.
Yeah.
But that's when my kids are little. So that's what they enjoy. Mm-hmm. I also liked a note here you had about like what to bring, but also it kind of overlaps into safety is, there's a bunch of things I keep in the car. So like, I know you have your first aid kit here. A lot of times I keep like my big stash of sunscreen is in the car. I might have a bottle with me, but like I have backup bottles in the car.
Yeah.
I have the big first aid kit. Usually we leave a lot of the towels in the car too. Like we might bring one or two that everybody can like do a quick dry with, but we're leaving a lot of stuff in the car, especially if the car is farther away and we have to walk farther. Some beaches you have to walk a ways to get to the beach and some you don't.
Yeah.
So we try to keep travel light, as light as we can there.
Yeah. I usually, we just went to the beach on Friday. It was me and my two girls, so the baby and my almost 4-year-old, my son was sick.
So he stayed home, but we went with like a whole bunch of families from my church, which was really fun. And I usually leave my first aid kit in the car, and it was in the car this trip. And I didn't even see it happen, but one of the older kids stepped on a rock and like sliced his foot up real bad, to the point where like they wound up going to see if he needed stitches. But in that moment, I was like, what if that was me? Like, what if that was my kid and I was not with this group? Like, how was I going to be managing that situation? Because normally it's something that I do leave in the car, but it's not accessible to me. And I was like, if I had had the baby and 4-year-old and like trying to manage that. So now it's going to come with me in some like shape or fashion, maybe not the whole thing, because I have like the super duper extra first aid kit. But I think I am going to figure out what's a smaller thing that I can grab, similar to like what maybe I would take on a hike or something, what I would pull out.
Yeah.
Just to have, because the beach we were at isn't guarded. So there wouldn't have been anyone else kind of with those resources. Mm-hmm. If it's a guarded beach, they have access to all that first aid stuff in the event of an injury like that. Someone else had their first aid kit much more accessible than mine, and the kid got taken care of. But it just set my cogs turning.
Yeah. No, that's good to think about. It also reminds me, too, I sound like such a fuddy-duddy mom. I hated water shoes growing up, and I will not go back now. I think of, so that day I said, pre-show, we'll see if it makes it into the final cut or not. But no, it wasn't pre-show. About the rockfish with my husband.
Yeah.
He was in water below his knees. It was very shallow. It was very mild part of the beach that was in Okinawa, Japan. And it seemed like, it just seemed like a very mild spot. There were some German tourists, I believe, that were there too. And they were like chatting with us and stuff, and they did not have water shoes on. And that was before my husband saw the rockfish. Had he stepped on that fish and its spines, we would have been up a creek in a foreign country.
Yeah.
And so that was a good reminder to me. Like, we're going to wear water shoes. One of our favorite beaches in Virginia is at a nature preserve, and there's like old dock pieces or something under the water. Mm-hmm. You can see them at low tide. You can't see them at high tide, but they're like huge pieces of wood and like splintering wood. Like, it's like broken off dock. And so you just never know. Up home by the lakes, there's the zebra mussels that'll slice you up real good. I thought it was so lame when I was a kid to wear water shoes, and I hated it. And I still I hate, like, once you take a water shoe off, there's no getting it back on once it's wet. Like, it's, that's all horrible. That's also another like side note about Crocs. I'll wear Crocs in the ocean. They float. If it comes off, they float.
I'm not going to sell you on the beach, but you're going to end up selling me on Crocs. Cause the other day, after slipping my Birkenstocks on and off for like 6 times going in and out of the backyard, and knowing that there was chicken poop on them, I was like, ah, be easy if these were Crocs. Horrible.
Yeah, they're good beach shoes too. Yeah, just wearing, and I try to tell my kids too. I probably don't push that one hard as I should, because I want for my kids to have their feet in the sand, but also the hot sand burns. Like, they want something on their feet too half the time.
Yeah.
And the other half of the time they're suffering. They don't want it on their feet, but they're suffering.
So. Yeah. My oldest hates hot sand. Hates it. Will not. Like, it has no concept of like, I can power through this moment. He's just like, no, I shan't. I live here now. Sorry.
We are first big family trip. Mm-hmm. We were living in Japan, and we took my oldest to Thailand, to Phuket, Thailand, right after he turned 1. So he was newer walking. Walking was new. And he had been to the beach before, but not as a walker. and he hated the sand. We went to such a beautiful place. Like, Phuket has some of the most beautiful beaches. And my husband, like I've mentioned a couple times now, that is his home away from home. He says that when he retires, he wants to have a hut on the beach. Like, that is his environment. Yeah. And we were so excited. You know, I'm postpartum. I'm feeling like excited to kind of feel like myself again and go somewhere as fun. And he screamed the entire time. And I think it was his feet moving on the sand. And that, like,
the unevenness.
Like,
it's good when
it's good when they're bigger, because it builds those stabilizer muscles and core muscles to be able to move on ground that's moving. But the ground moving under his feet freaked him out. And the only time he was happy was if he was being carried. And even then he wasn't thrilled. So I have some really sad but cute photos of him crying on a beautiful beach in Phuket. And we were pool people at the resort, which felt like a little bit of a waste of a trip. But that's where he enjoyed it. And so we drank cocktails at the pool.
Oh, so sad. Cocktails by the pool.
Oh, yeah. Life is hard. But yeah, it's different. Like, it's going to be different for each kid.
Yeah.
There's so many factors at the beach.
Yes.
But my kids love it now. All three of them, they love swimming. They love looking. We love looking for rocks and shells at the beach and what critters. Like, you can find so many different creatures. Hopefully not in the water. That freaks me out. Doesn't freak them out. Freaks me out. This was cool. The other day, granted, we live near several military installations, I think. And they were doing ranger training, jumping out of helicopters into the water, like on Tybee Island Beach the other week.
That's cool. So, my kids would love
that. Yeah. We didn't see that, but I saw like a Facebook post about it. And a lot of, you know, anybody at the beach that day got to see ranger training. So that's neat. There's a lot of cool things, cool opportunities. Kites at the beach, my family loves. What else does your family love? Just what's the pros now that we've talked about so many hard things? What are some good things at the beach?
I think my kids need wide open spaces, and the beach has a lot of room to move and to do things, and they really thrive in those environments. They love the water. Love, love, love it. Would stay in the water all day. My middle, when she was maybe just a year old, as opposed to your sad baby in Thailand story, she would like jump into the water and like throw herself into the waves. Right. Like, she wanted to be bowled over by them, to the point where like the other parents are giving me dirty looks and I'm like, she's choosing this. Like, this is what she wants for herself. Just very high physical needs. This is how she interacts with the world. She needs to do this. Just let her live her life. I'm right here. She's fine.
And this is your middle child who started walking at, what, 9 months old? Started climbing. I met you.
She could climb a ladder before she could walk. Yeah. Yeah.
She was on par with my three. I think my oldest would have been 2.5 or 3, and yours wasn't even a year old, and she was keeping up with him at a playground. So, yes, very high physical needs.
Very high physical needs. I need to remember these, like, baby stories when I'm overwhelmed by her physical needs now. Because it's like, what am I expecting? This is how she has always been. This is her person. This is who she is. My crew loves the beach. They are happy to spend a lot of time on the beach. I have found, we haven't done it yet this year, but we did a couple, maybe last year or the year before. We would go when my husband got home from work. And we'd do like picnic dinner at the beach. And we found that that was a really good way to, the beach was not as hot. It was not as crowded. And
that's brilliant.
They still like,
you know, they had a great time. Plus daddy was there. So we had those, we had two adults, which, so our safety ratio was better. And then they were exhausted and usually fell asleep in the car on the way home. So as long as you don't mind dirty sheets, it was 10 out of 10.
I think one of my goals is to do like a water day, once a week, if not
water
more.
Wednesday. That's what we do. Yeah. We do Water Wednesday. We normally have Bible study during the year on Wednesday, but it follows the school year schedule. So it lines up perfectly. Once Bible study is over, Wednesdays become our water day.
Unfortunately, because we don't have so many water options or like beachy options, it'll probably be more pools or splash pads.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It'll still be fun. And I'm going to try to be at the beach more often. It's really good for their movement. Swimming is so good for your body. The uneven walking on the beach, like it's so good for your legs. And then again, like those stabilizer muscles. Oh, that reminds me of when we camped at the Outer Banks and that walk. We were just on the other side of the sand dunes, but walking up over the dune down to the beach with a beach buggy. We didn't have a beach buggy. I think we might have had our wagon by then with beach tires on it. That's a hack. It's not actually a wagon. It's a glorified wheelbarrow with thick like beach tires on it. And we use it.
We need pictures of this because I feel like I've never seen this. I can't picture it. We have a beach buggy and it's a love hate.
Yeah. I've looked at like the beach carts that you can take around. That's hard. The thing I like about the wheelbarrow, we'll call it a wagon for the sake of sounding better. But I can fit my kids in it. So it's like I can either put like our gear in it or I can put my kids in it. And I will say this, it's shaped like a wheelbarrow. It doesn't have the things like the handles that you pick up and push, you pull with a handle with it.
Okay.
I don't know if we got it used. So maybe it's somebody's invention and not something that's commonly sold, but it works really well.
I can't think of it. I said you have the only beach barrow in the whole world.
Yeah, it's a really neat. All right. Do you have any other tips or tricks for me, not a beach lover?
Sand removal hacks. Do you like any of them? Have you used any of them?
No, I usually just curse at the sand everywhere.
I've just accepted that my car is going to be disgusting, and so I just live with it. That's the same for me.
My husband hates it, though, so we're trying to catch that balance between my not caring and his much caring.
Yeah.
That's marriage.
I mean, you need people who care about things. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. It's a blessing. It's why marriage works.
But no, I have not figured out anything with the sand. Tell me if you have, please.
I haven't tried most of them because I don't actually care that much. my kids are starting to care, though. So I think I might have to try test run some of these this summer. Apparently, cornstarch in a sock or like baby powder, if you have baby powder. And you just like rub it at the sand. And it dries up. It like takes up all the moisture that's left in the sand or something. So it like falls off pretty immediately is what I hear. Another one I've been hearing is that Norwex, the like cleaning company, they have a dusting mitt that apparently is amazing.
Is that like microfiber?
It's probably something like that. I don't know. I haven't seen it in action. No, like I can think of the texture.
Yeah, I was going to say, this isn't even a crunchy mom thing about microfiber. It's the thought of like rubbing that texture on my body is making me like, ugh.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure what it's made of. That's a good point.
Normally our go-to is just brush off what we can with a towel, expect the car to be sandy, and then everybody, like we do a whole family shower, everybody to the shower, everybody to the tub, wash it all off. I will probably change my sheets on a beach day because I hate some sand in the bed. And that's been the only thing we've done. Just wash it all away. Wash it down the drain.
I mean, it
probably
works.
Not good for our pipes.
Ugh, not even thinking about that. Now I have to think about that too.
I'm not a homeowner, so I don't think about it. Not my problem. That's a horrible attitude.
That sounds like a husband problem. Do you have any final beach thoughts, friend?
No, I'm going to try to do the beach more. I'm going to try. What are your thoughts with sharks? Do you have shark thoughts?
I don't have shark thoughts. I feel like sharks are one of those things that I keep out of my brain, so I don't fixate on them.
Cool.
Like, I generally forget about them until someone brings them up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, sharks are in the ocean. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Sharks are in the Potomac.
Potomac, yeah. They're places. Probably closer to me than I realize. And
ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Do you feel like you have more of you're probably just more aware in general, but do you think you're more aware in Georgia?
No.
No.
I don't think about sharks either. I think about sharks only in the context of looking for shark teeth.
Yeah. But when I'm looking for shark teeth, those are like extinct.
Yeah.
Megalodon teeth. You know, it's like I'm looking.
We found, did I ever show you our megalodon tooth?
You did. Yeah. We talk about it sometimes.
Aww. It's not as impressive as some other megalodon teeth I found, but I still feel like a treasure hunter.
Yeah. As you should. Alrighty, so thank you guys so much for listening. Next week we will be chatting about adventuring to the United Kingdom, a trip I took with my family pretty recently. If you're enjoying our show, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review us. You know how that works. It helps people find us. And we would love to hear from you. You can follow us on Instagram. We are at adventure.mamas.podcast, or you can email us at adventuremamaspodcast@gmail.com. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas for episodes, things you think we should talk about, we would love to hear from you. Thanks.
Happy adventuring.